chapter 1, The Right Way to Pray. This book is not about correcting your prayer life. It's not fixing the wrong way to pray. I'm sure you've prayed all your life. Maybe it went something like this. Close your eyes, start talking, mind starts wandering, talk some more, say amen, hope for the best. Did that seem powerful to you? That's not the right way, that's the left way. I love neurology. I love learning about how our brains work. Did you know that there are more than 86 billion neurons in your brain? Or that each one is connected to more than 10,000 other neurons? The processing power of your brain is enormous. The brain is by far the most complicated organ in the body and the universe. Over 20% of each breath goes to oxygenate our brains. Your brain is far more complex than all the stars in the sky or grains of sand on all the beaches in the world. But do you have any idea how to work it? Our brains have two hemispheres. In the 1950s, it was thought that the right hemisphere wasn't really needed. It was the stupid part of the brain. That's because it doesn't talk. All our speech centers are located in the left hemisphere of the brain, primarily in the Broca's area, which is slightly above your left ear. Scientists then actually thought that you could get along just fine without the right side of your brain. The left side of our brains are great at linear thinking, logic, science, math, numbers, reason, all the important stuff we learn in school. During the 80s, a slew of books hit the market emphasizing the right side of a brain. It seemed like the future was going to the right-brained people. Artists with imagination were the future in our companies. Seeing the whole picture was the important key to life. Yet, our business models ran on a left-brain model. Logic, reason, and rationalization ruled, and still rules, for the main part. What was by far more disturbing was that the church adopted a similar business model. Study demographics, run focus groups, find out what the mega churches were doing and copy that, work programs, analyze your community, fill a niche. And it worked. At least it did. Now we're finding that the church is in decline. People are leaving church and not coming back. I lived in Europe for a year, and most of the massive cathedrals house only a handful of believers. Statistics say that more than 80% of high school seniors, once they leave home to go to college, never go back to church. Why is that? I believe it's because many of our Christians are just culturally Christian. I work with people from many different cultures in the International Village of Atlanta. We're home to over 145 different countries and 761 language groups in our area. These people are Muslim because their grandparents and parents and all their friends back home are Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu or whatever. If you ask them what makes you Muslim, they'll give you a very vague answer. Well, that's just how I was raised. Sadly, I believe a similar thing goes on in our Christian churches. Most people can't give clear examples of what separates Christianity from other religions. In fact, I often hear, well, most religions are basically the same. They just have different names for God. You just have to be good and you'll get to heaven. Christianity is the only grace religion on the planet. All the other religions believe you have to do something to earn your way into heaven. Fast, pray multiple times a day, use the same words over and over, give money, basically be good enough. Christianity is different. We put our faith in what Jesus did, not in what we do. He did the work for us. That's great news. But is that all there is to it? Now that we're safe from hell, we can breathe easier? Do you read the Gospels? Jesus did some amazing things. He healed people, walked on water, flew in the air, read people's mind, raised people from the dead, manifested food, changed elements into different things? Sounds wild, right? Do you believe what Jesus said in the Bible is true? Well, what do you make of this verse? This is from John 14, 12 through 14. This is the New International Version. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Sounds pretty clear, doesn't it? We should be able to heal people because Jesus healed people, right? Or is that just a first century phenomenon? That's the way I was brought up as a Southern Baptist. All that miraculous stuff, that just happened back then. And in particular, it happened because it was Jesus doing it. He was God's son, and that's how he was able to do it. In other words, it's not logical that miracles can happen today. It doesn't fit our left brain mentality. It doesn't make sense. I often ask the congregations where I preach, how many of you have seen a miracle? The doctors say it's not possible, and yet you've seen someone healed. Many people raise their hands. The fact of the matter is, medicine is perhaps the most left brain of any scientific endeavor. Tests and machines and medicine, that's what many people put their faith in. Yet there are many proven research studies that prove that the placebo is just as effective as many medicines with fewer side effects. Well, why is that? Because of the power of your mind. That wonderful 3.5-pound mass of neurons that rests inside your skull is far more miraculous than we give it credit for. And you know what makes it even more marvelous? Prayer. I think it's time to get back to basics. The disciples of Jesus said, "Teach us to pray." He gave them an outline of words to say, the Lord's Prayer. Many of us learned it by heart as a child. In Matthew 6:6, Jesus said, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Why would Jesus say to go into a closet and pray? In this context, it was mainly to draw a comparison to the Pharisees who loved to go into the markets and pray with great volume just to draw attention to themselves. Where did Jesus go to pray? In Luke 5:16, it says, "Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Why was that? We need to remove distractions and focus. How do we focus on God? How can we keep our minds from wandering? How can we know that our prayer time will be effective? By drawing on the right side of our brains when we pray.